This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's talk a little football. 12-year NFL veteran. You see him on the NFL Network on a regular basis. We've got a lot to get to. Our friend Brian Baldinger joining us this morning here on the show. Baldy, how you doing?
Good morning, DA. I'm doing fantastic. Just kind of hiding out here in the film room at NFL Films, watching the games from last night, trying to stay on top of these things right now. So all's good right now.
Okay, so as you watch the film from last night and Blake Bortles, why is Doug Marrone and the Jaguars so frustrated with him right now?
Well, because of the throws that he missed. You know, I mean, he missed two just in the in the second quarter to Allen Robinson. I mean, one's a go route, and he underthrows it. And the last thing you can do on that throw is underthrow it. I mean, you might overthrow it, but you never underthrow it. And then he missed Allen Robinson on a skinny post. And, you know, he's got a clean pocket. He's got good vision. You know, he's bouncing the ball off the turf. I mean, there's good reason to be frustrated. They got a good set of wide receivers, and they can't get the ball down the field to him.
Why do you think Bortles has had such a problem over these 4 years being consistent and being dependable? Because now he has the experience. He certainly has the physical attributes that you would want. He was drafted very high, highly thought of, but he hasn't been able to put it together. Why?
Well, mechanically he's not good. He's got a long windup. He's got a long motion. And he's just not accurate. I mean, at some point, either can throw the ball through the tire or you can't. Either you can hit a moving target or you can't. I mean, you're not going to take Blake Bortles to the state fair and win the big teddy bear. I mean, he's just not going to pop balloons for you. And that's what you got to do in this business. And it hasn't changed. And so, you know, he's had stretches where, you know, comeback time, mop-up duty, you know, he's put up some decent numbers 2 years ago. But in this business, if you can't hit a moving target and throw with anticipation, you're going to struggle. And he has struggled in that department.
Gus Bradley was a guy that defended his guys, but Doug Marrone is not a guy. He walked in there and really kind of put Blake Bortles on front street and was going to openly criticize him. Do you think that Doug Marrone's new approach to running this organization is going to get better results than the previous regime did?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you can say whatever you want to say. I mean, it could come from David Caldwell. It can come from Tom Coughlin or whatever. I mean, everybody knows on the team right now that he's struggling. And so you can't hide that. You can't run from it. I mean, it's the film's not going to lie. I mean, you think Allen Robinson isn't frustrated right now? I mean, he's out there trying to fight for a contract and all that kind of stuff, and he's got a guy that can't get him the ball. And so, you know, there's nobody in the stands last night. I mean, he's got to play better. And everybody knows it, and he knows it. And so maybe he's put more pressure on himself than he needs to. I mean, some guys, you know, really press when they get like that. But ultimately, this is his fourth year, and he's had a long time to kind of show what he can do. He's not the only problem. I mean, they've got other issues on that team, but it starts with the quarterback, and that was not a great performance last night.
Brian Baldinger joins us from NFL Network. So let's say that Ezekiel Elliott's going to miss some time. Let's just say that the appeal doesn't last the entire season. If Ezekiel Elliott misses 4 to 6 games, what does that do to the Cowboys' season?
Well, they're not as good without him. I mean, he's a special player. You watch him in practice, watch him in blitz pickup. He might be the best player in the league at that. I mean, he can block, he can catch, He's a dynamic player. He's a finisher. Dynamic player. Now, they have Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden. They both have had good seasons and good years in this league. So they're going to be okay because the offensive line is terrific. But they're not the same team without him. And really, if you look at Dak Prescott a year ago, I mean, there was a difference. If you look at the numbers, there was a difference when Zeke Elliott was in the lineup and when he wasn't in the lineup. Dak Prescott was not as efficient. Now, you know, Dak is, I think he's going to be a really good player for a long time. He's got a lot of things going for him. But they're not as good a team without him. How that translates right now, DA, to wins and losses, nobody knows. But he did what he did last year, and that was not a mirage. He's special, and they're not going to be as special without him for whatever games there are.
So on that point, do you think this will expose Dak Prescott earlier in the season as a young quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, we really it's hard to say. I mean, if you just look at with Zeke Elliott in the lineup last year and when he wasn't in the lineup, I mean, the numbers say he wasn't as good. Now, Dak Prescott, normally players make a big jump between their first year and their second year. I expect that from Dak. I mean, he has exceptional poise. He has great touch. He's got good field vision. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him. But they're not going to be as good a team without Ezekiel Elliott. It's just, and I would say the quarterback isn't going to be as good without him. Now, those are strong words, but that's what I'm saying about Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's really special, and he makes everybody else better around him.
What do you think about Jay Cutler? What have you seen or what did you see on film from him last night and getting some snaps and getting some throws off? It seems like Adam Gase was happy with what he did.
Well, I mean, he threw six balls, you know. I mean, it's not like it's a great sample size. He completed half of them. You know, a couple check downs. He got a nice ball down the field to Devontae Parker on the go. You know, look, just for him to get in and out of the huddle, he's never thrown to any of these players, you know, 10 days ago. And, you know, now he's expected to take the Miami Dolphins, you know, into the playoffs again. I mean, it's going to be a tough assignment. You can go out there and practice all day, but there's nothing like game day timing. And if you're off by just a little bit with guys, just trying to read their body language and know where they're at, this is not going to be Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, and, you know, the studs that he had in Chicago for a couple seasons. You know, it's no Brandon Marshall out there right now that he's going to feel that comfortable with. Now, he's got to play catch-up. And they scrimmage against the Eagles this week in Philadelphia here as they get ready for, you know, a game this weekend with them. And those practice sessions against the Eagles are going to be really valuable for Jay Cutler.
You know, it seems to me impossible that you could walk in off the street, basically, and be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It takes such commitment, such desire. I mean, everybody else on the field is conditioned all year round, 365. You're trying to eat right, condition yourself, be worked out, you know, understand the offense. And then Jay Cutler comes in after doing none of that, is just going to pick up the reins and be the quarterback. Do you think that's realistic? Can he be a successful quarterback this season, having had no offseason?
It's hard to say, you know, exactly right now, D. I mean, look, he retired. I mean, he shut the game out. He said he had enough. He had a great job opportunity with Fox Sports, you know, to work with Charles Davis, you know. So mentally, he had shut it down. Now you're going to get back on the saddle. I'm not saying he can't do it. He does have great familiarity for the year that he had with Adam Gase, so he understands the terminology, the concepts, and the offense. But you got a guy that walked away from the game and seemed perfectly fine with walking away from the game. Now, it was one circumstance and one circumstance only that was going to bring him out, and that was Adam Gase, where he had his best season as a pro, statistically anyways. And so, you know, the money was fantastic. He couldn't say no to it. Now, how you play catch-up right now with all new teammates, they're all looking at him saying, you got to be our guy, which is, you know, it's a good feeling, but it's also a lot of pressure that comes with that. And so is it realistic? We haven't really seen this circumstance very often, but typically when quarterbacks change teams like this, even Sam Bradford in Minnesota last year, you know, 8 days before the start of the season, it is not easy trying to, you know, learn an offense with all new players in a short period of time or on the fly or on the go the way that Cutler has to do right now.
Brian Baldinger joins us, NFL Network. I want to ask you about the Sammy Watkins trade from last week. Number one, why did the Bills give up on Watkins, considering they had such high hopes for him and had traded a one even to acquire him a couple of years ago?
Well, he wasn't productive. I mean, he wasn't on the field. He was injured for most of the time throughout that 3 years, and he just wasn't very productive. And so, you know, they've just acquired Anquan Boldin and Jordan Matthews from the Eagles, and, you know, they traded away their entire wide receiving core. I mean, Robert Woods, Marcus Goodwin, I mean, all these guys are all gone. The entire wide receiving core is gone from a year ago. And so sometimes that happens when you have a new general manager, a new head coach, the new way of doing things. Zay Jones looked pretty good last night for Buffalo. You know, they had to make a decision. They made a decision that they weren't going to give him a fifth-year option. So they're basically already cutting the cord with him. And so they're like, well, if we're not going to pay him for his fifth year, we're basically going to say goodbye to him. Let's, you know, we've already changed the entire receiving core room. Let's go all the way and make the trade to Sammy Watkins as well right now. Acquire picks and, you know, six picks in the top two rounds next year. They're acquiring picks, and they feel like they've got younger players in Zay Jones and older players like Anquan Boldin that they can rely more on, guys that are going to maybe stay healthy and be out there and have a chance to be more productive.
All right, so finally, on the flip side of that, with the Rams, do you think it was a smart idea to acquire Watkins to try to help out that offense and help out a young quarterback in Goff?
Well, that's what it's all about, is trying to surround Goff with as many guys. I mean, nobody has committed more resources in the last 4 years to the wide receiver position than St. Louis Rams. I mean, my goodness, no matter who is that quarterback, I mean, all they've been doing is drafting wide receivers and now trading for them. They need to give Goff, you know, a true number one player out there. They don't have that. Tavon Austin is not that guy. There'll be a tight end-based offense in St. Louis this year. That's why Everett was their first pick there at the second round. But they need a guy that can flat-out run on the outside to open things up in the middle, and that's what they hope can happen with Sammy Watkins right now.
Check out Brian Baldinger on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. You see him on the NFL Network all the time now that the season is here. When's the next time we can catch you here, Baldy?
You know, I'm going to be working a lot of stuff, a lot of X's and O's type stuff. We're just trying to figure out, you know, what the programming is going to be. I'm not probably going to be on for the rest of preseason, but I'm in the film room right now putting some stuff on Twitter and getting some stuff up on the website right now.
Very cool. So check it out, NFL.com, and then on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. It's always good to catch up, bud. Thanks so much for the info.
My pleasure, DA. Anytime. Thanks.
Okay. Brian Baldinger joining us here on the show. We'll see about Jared Goff, man. I mean, it sounds like there is good early buzz around McVay being a young coach and making the Rams maybe more professional, maybe more dynamic than what was happening under Jeff Fisher. I mean, 500 Fisher's tenure had clearly come to a ignominious end, if you will, because it was very clear he was not going to push them over the top. So maybe McVay can do that. But now you have Jared Goff. They've got to make Jared Goff work. I mean, they just have to. You can't trade away all of your picks and all of that, all those resources for the number one pick overall and then him go bust. And he wasn't very good last year. So Sammy Watkins, if he can stay healthy, I love Watkins. I was at the Orange Bowl where Sammy was just absolutely devastated for Clemson, and Ohio State could not cover him. And I said, boy, this guy could really be a player of the next level, but inconsistent, can't stay healthy. And that's not going to help out a young quarterback in Goff. And I've got a lot of question marks about whether Jared Goff's got it. I like Carson Wentz. He's not a finished product yet, but I like Carson Wentz. I got a lot of questions about what Jared Goff is going to be. When we come back, we've got your Dummership. That's always fun on a Friday. And we're taking your feedback on Target Demo Friday. So we'll read those a little bit later on in the hour. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to The DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Give the body something with a little more juice.
The body.
Yeah. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember to check out the Facebook page. You can let us know what you're up to on this Target Demo Friday there. And then when you go there, obviously like the show page as well.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
We've also put up all the pictures of Mraz and I eating disgusting Cheetos-infused meals. Although I will say all the Cheetos-infused meals that we had were very, very good. We went to the pop-up restaurant the other day that's only open for 3 days. It actually closed down last night. It was only a 3-day event. And we got to eat Cheetos-infused mac and cheese and Cheetos-infused chicken tacos. and got to see some of the other dishes as well. And I put all the pictures on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheDAShow. I'll read some of those comments for you coming up as part of Target Demo Friday. But also, unless something else happens over the next 2 weeks, it's going to be the debut episode of Season 2 of Nomad. Nomad is my online series, which runs during commercial breaks here on the watchda.com live stream of the show, and then also on YouTube, and I always implant them as well on our Facebook page and tweet them out. But it's where I travel the country trying to eat good stuff, drink good stuff, and see good sports stuff. So this Cheetos thing was right up my alley. I brought Mraz along, and it was pretty wild. So unless something else blows me away that I eat or do over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be the premiere episode of Season 2 of Nomad, which will be the week following Labor Day.
Dangerously cheesy.
It was so dangerously cheesy. Everything was dangerous. I'm a little shocked. I'm shocked by two things. Number one, that I did not have massive digestive issues after that. And number two, that it was pretty tasty. You know, Mraz, James Ward, who is the producer of Sunday Morning Football and was on the Wheels of Steel during the evening show, put it perfectly. Mraz has all of these internal plumbing problems. You know, we'll just be doing a show and he'll like have a little burp or he'll shift in his chair, then suddenly have to run to the bathroom.
I'm a fat lord.
And it's kind of amazing because he's kind of has no control. He's always... It's like North Korea and the button. You know, you're always on the verge of disaster. You just never know. It's like total happenstance. So, Mraz, because he is such a volatile internal piping, it's always a quote-unquote photo finish for him. Ward has one of the great quotes of all time. He goes, "You know what, Mraz? When you treat your body like a dumpster, sometimes the dumpster fights back."
Suck down this hot dog.
So when we went to the Cheetos pop-up, I was like, he can eat any... He always eats like this. I mean, you know, he's just a garbage can. Just whatever trash, just throw it down his gullet. It's just a big garbage can.
Look at the poppy seeds.
But I was like, oh boy, I don't know, man. You get me with like Cheetos mac and cheese or Cheetos chicken tacos, this thing could be just a nightmare. But I walked away liking the food and not having any major digestive issues. So I consider that a real double win. That was like sweeping a day-night doubleheader right there for me. It's time for Dumbership.
You earthlings are strange life forms. DA, should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of The Dumber Ship.
This week, this story has been amazing. David Bookstaver has not had a very good week. David Bookstaver was the New York State court system's longtime communications chief. So think about the state court system here in New York, longtime communications chief, whatever you do there. The New York Post realized this guy was making a lot of money and not doing anything. This Bookstaver guy was making $166,000 a year.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
He had been with the courts for the last 21 years. He had been a spokesman for EMS in New York City, Emergency Medical Services. And he had risen the ranks to then become the communications chief of the court system. The New York Post realized, you know what? I don't really think you're doing anything. And Bookstaver was like, well, you know what? What I do is really behind the scenes. And the Post followed up. They must have gotten a tip that this guy is basically just not doing anything, a lazy bone. And he was like, no, I'm behind the scenes. The stuff that I do, you're really not seeing much of, but I'm definitely working hard. I'm a big part of what we do here. You know, and he's trying to validate his existence, and the Post is trying to kind of do this expose on how he's basically another government no-show. Bookstaver hangs up the phone after saying, you know, what I do is kind of quiet, it's kind of behind the scenes, but, you know, my name might not be in light, but I'm grinding every single day. Bookstaver happens, after he hangs up the phone, to redial the Post, the reporter on the Post, okay? This is right after they hang up the phone. But dials him. So much as, you know, redial. He redials the last phone number, but dials the New York Post reporter, and the Post reporter's like, hello? And Bookstaver the phone is like at his side or in his pants or something, and the reporter can hear everything Bookstaver's talking about. And Bookstaver is then joking and laughing with colleagues about how he just lied about how much work he does. He's laughing and joking and telling one of his coworkers, I'm not doing anything. I'm barely showing up for work, but I would never tell him that. He actually admits it. And the reporter now has this that he's listening to. He's conversing right now with somebody in the office joking about how he never shows up at work, that he shows up like twice a week, if that. He's making $166,000 a year. So then the New York Post reports this. Oh, yeah, this Bookstaver guy, he butt-dialed me, and he was admitting to his buddies that he never shows up and he just lied to me. And yesterday, Bookstaver got the zig. Fired by the New York State court system. He had been planning to retire in October, but instead he was terminated early. Now, whether there's going to be disciplinary action, we don't know. But unfortunately, it's only a couple of months early. So this guy, who is just the worst, the biggest no-show ever, and I mean, just bragging to coworkers about how little he works, was making $166 a year. He said to his buddy, actually, which is even better, I guess it went to this reporter's voicemail. So he actually had the whole transcript of it. And this Bookstaver guy said, yeah, I was just speaking to this reporter on record. I said I'm in a much less visible position. And, you know, what he doesn't know is I'm not doing anything. This guy said to his buddy, yeah, frankly, the bottom line is the story is true. I'm not doing anything. I barely show up to work. And I guess I've been caught. He also is bragging about his pension. He's bragging about his retirement fund. He even said to his coworker, which is on the voicemail, yeah, I mean, look, I've got a big mouth. I told people I'm not doing much. I take a lot of time off. I guess that got back to him. So Bookstaver was bragging about not showing up. Coworkers went to the Post. He lied to the Post, then butt-dialed back and left a voicemail admitting of all the things that he had lied about. And so he gets fired. Just awesome. Let's just hope that it affects his pension. Let's hope. That's your dumbership this morning. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The funniest part is, this guy lives in New York City, right? But he has a second home where he goes hunting. Guess where that is? Upstate New York, Warwick, New York. My hometown! This crook is living in my hometown basically 5 days a week going fishing and hunting. It's unbelievable. I gotta find out where this boob lives. I'm gonna go TP his house. Go egg his mailbox. Ugh. Remember that time, Brad Heller, you made $166,000 a year and only showed up to do updates twice a week?
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. What happened?
Yeah, I know. Now it's like 5 days a week. What a grind. You know?
5 days a week, four updates an hour.
Oh, two stations.
Two stations.
Never ends.
It doesn't.
And the news just keeps coming. It's like when Jerry and George ask Newman, why is it always like the postal workers that go crazy? Because the mail just keeps coming and coming and coming.
It doesn't stop.
It never stops. The updates just keep coming.
Yeah.
They never stop.
Yeah. Enough time to run to the bathroom. Oh, wait, got another one.
When we come back, we've got your Target Demo Friday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We will be going over Target Demo Friday coming up here in just a few minutes. So get your feedback in, what you're up to this weekend, where you're listening, how you're listening, on either Facebook or on Twitter. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Michael asks on Twitter, DA, what kind of season do you project Jay Cutler having? You know, I think there will be moments where you see the old Jay Cutler arm come out. I think you will see moments where Jay Cutler looks the part of a starting quarterback, but I don't think this is going to end well. My guess is that Cutler, by about mid-October, starts wondering, why did I come back again? Because the Dolphins will be 500. He'll be getting knocked around, and he'll think, boy, it would have been really nice to just be calling these games instead of playing in these games. I don't think he plays all 16 games for the Dolphins. I think by the end of the season, it's going to be a lost season for Miami, and that the Cutler experiment will have gone poof. I don't think he'll completely embarrass himself, but Cutler's not the type of guy that's going to fight through a lot of adversity. I know he likes Adam Gase, but I don't think the Dolphins, with a makeshift quarterback situation, are going to go anywhere. And so I expect this to look fine early, but ultimately the Dolphins be a 500 team. And by mid to late October, Cutler start waning in his interest in this. And then by November, really asking himself, do I want to be in there every day? And then probably going to be injured at some point in time at the end of the season. Matt Moore is going to come in, and it's going to be a lost year for the Dolphins, unfortunately. Once upon a time, we did the overnights here on CBS Sports Radio, and I heard this audio because Gio and Jones played it before we were on this morning, and it was our overnight host, Amy Lawrence, who took over for the mothership and overnights, discussing automated strike zones, because this is now a big story in baseball. Automated strike zones, Rob Manfred getting some pressure from people. Ben Zobrist said there should be automated strike zones that essentially take the human element out of balls and strikes because it can be so kind of out of whack. We have the technology now. Now, Manfred says we don't have the technology yet, but I think certainly we're moving towards automated calls on the base paths or home runs, catches. I think you will eventually see more and more technology take over baseball, pitch clocks, and stuff like that. But so Amy was discussing what would automated calls look like, especially plays at the plate.
And then what happens when you have a play at the plate? What, is the robot going to call the play at the plate too? Or you're going to have an umpire on standby? Or what? We have to wait for the photos to come in so we can see who's safe and who's out? What about when there's a check swing? Does the robot umpire call those two?
So I kind of wasn't following that there. The robot umpire. Wait a second. We're not going to have Rosie from the Jetsons behind home plate. We're not having short circuits Johnny 5 behind home plate.
Strike! No! No disassemble!
Just say no to robots.
Johnny 5 alive! Strike! You're out!
Somehow I went into Speedy Gonzalez there, but...
No disassemble! Stephanie! Ball 4!
I don't know how he made that jump to... Wait, robot umpires? No, we're not going to have the robot from Rocky 3 behind home plate.
Merle is in Akron. Merle, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Amy?
Great.
First timer.
Boom.
Hey, I had to call and tell you, there's no way in the world I want a robot behind the plate. But wouldn't it be funny if you had one back there and the batter didn't like call and started beating the hell out of it with the bat?
Or let's say the batteries ran out. What if the battery
off on the robot, knock its head about 30 feet away or something like that?
Yeah. What about if the robot runs out of gas or his battery dies in the middle of a game? Or is he plugged in and somebody trips over the cord?
You know, I think of the old Lost in Space show where they unplugged the robot and his arms just went limp and he fell over, kind of.
I mean, that's what happened to 3PO when you turn him off.
Yeah, he just kind of falls over.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It would be...
A robot calling balls and strikes.
I know.
So I'm just thinking, you make one bad call and somebody doesn't like it, and he just starts beating the heck out of him with the bat.
Yeah, that would be entertaining. I might pay to watch that or at least catch it after the
fact. Oh, I'd pay to see that.
Okay, all of this is amazing. I have to imagine this is sarcastic. Because
I hope
this is not. There's no robot behind the plate. There's not a robot there. It would be automated from, like, the press box. And, like, the scoreboard would say strike or ball. There would not be... There is no Wall-E behind home plate. There is not, like, a little robot. And I'm pretty sure a robot running on gas? What, is this a lawnmower? And it's plugged in?
You're one of those energy-efficient robots?
I like this idea even better. Now I want, this is great, a robot behind home plate. I want Short Circuit back there. Strike! Stephanie! Ball 2-2. What? Yes, yeah, I want a toaster on wheels back there calling balls and strikes. Looking just like a metallic Angel Hernandez. That's what I want.
You see an electric charging station and there's a robot and cars next to it?
I want C-3PO back there. Yeah. No, this is way better of an idea. That's great. Oh, man, that's great. That is great. That is great. All right, it's time for Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Chad tweeting in, I'm working for the weekend, but no worries. Plan on grilling bacon-wrapped pork loin and sliders. Hashtag pig, pig, beef. Hashtag get yourself a pork shoulder.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Dave tweeting in, walking that route, delivering that mail. Vacation starts at 5 p.m. And can I get a beam up? It's my B-Day. 1270 The Fan in Buffalo, New York. Nice.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Darren tweeting in, good old baked chicken. It was tapered at both ends, ease right out, no Klingons. Juicy enough. That's too juicy for
as a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Too juicy. Greg tweeting in, beam me up, DA, finishing up overtime, and it's camping and beer time.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
On Facebook, hit us up, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Joe tweeting in, love the show, listing on the CBS Sports app, can't wait to play Rocket League tonight. Hashtag beam me up, hashtag Fumba is not very good. I guess Fumba is who he's playing Rocket League with.
Oh, okay.
Michael Wright again. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening to the CBS Sports app, waiting to punch out of work so I can join my weekend watching the Lions preseason game. Enjoy some time in Lake Michigan. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, little drippy.
Phil writing in. Hashtag beam me up. I'm in Paducah, listening via the TuneIn app. We've got 2 minutes and 40 seconds of totality on Monday, so I'm programming my radio stations with celestial songs. What do you think? Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun. Keep it or dump it, bro.
All right.
I love that. Yeah. Monday is the eclipse. Get ready. Get your sunglasses. Get your popcorn.
Keep it or dump it, bro.
Hans, Florence, South Carolina, listening to the CBS Sports Radio app. In work grinding. My work Friday isn't until Saturday. Hey, Mraz. You just made the list.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Eric, listening on the CBS Sports app down in West Palm Beach. I'm spending the weekend poolside getting a tan with a drink in my hand. I'm feeling a little wet, a little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
That's a little wet, a little drippy feeling right there. Poolside with a drink. Danny writes in, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama, listening on the app. I'll be working and going to church this weekend.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Conrad, outside Atlanta, listening on the TuneIn app. Weekend, I'm drinking beer and watching exciting, riveting NFL preseason football. And Jeff writing in, I'm smoking a stogie, listening on the TuneIn app, ready to get ready for Dream Cruise this weekend. Maybe watching a possible Nomad, classic cars on Woodward, million people lining the avenue. It's going to be epic.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Ooh, that does sound like a good Nomad. By the way, more feedback coming in on the Cheetos pictorial. Ryan writing, I saw this on my radio prep the other day. That is so legit. If it comes to Houston, I am taking a drive for sure.
Even if you're fat.
Oh, it'll make you thick, let me tell you. But it was pretty delicious. Scott asks, DA, did Mraz have one of everything?
Puffiness with sodium.
He wanted to. He wanted to eat one of everything that they made and would have had they served it to us. Jason writing in, DA, that Cheetos mac and cheese looks absolutely amazing.
Chubbo.
Look, it was. It was amazing. And I expected it to be pretty gross, but it actually lived up to the hype and was pretty solid.
People get fat sometimes. What are you going to do? It happens.
Cecil writes in, DA, everything looks pretty good in your pictures. Was that a Bloody Mary? It looks like a Bloody Mary, but that's actually tomato soup. It's tomato soup in a kind of glass thing, and then they put a strip of bacon in there, then an olive and a cheeseoid in there, like a big Cheeto. And then on the side of the tomato soup is the grilled cheese that's made with Cheetos as well. Again, not bad.
What you think about that, DA?
I mean, I was shocked and slightly appalled that I liked it.
But dangerously cheesy.
It was pretty good. And that's your Target Demo Friday this morning, boys and girls. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. We had the owner of Sports Radio KRAP in Missouri, which is west of St. Louis, Crap. He nicknamed it Crap or labeled it Crap with his call letters because he knew it would catch people's attention, and it certainly did. They carry our show, which is obviously very appropriate, and they call themselves Crap Sports Radio, and they carry CBS Sports Radio. So we had Brad Hildebrand here on the show this morning, and it was awesome.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And a man that would buy a radio station and rename it Crap is a man after my own heart.
You complete me.
You had me at hello.
Brad Hildebrand is that man. He owns this radio station that carries CBS Sports Radio, and he tweeted at me multiple times saying, we're listening to you on Crap, or we're carrying your show on Crap, or you sound great on Crap. And I thought the guy was obviously joking. I didn't really know what he was talking about. As I delved into a little bit more and asked him, are you serious? He's like, yeah, our call letters are KRAP. I didn't believe it. I had to Google it, and sure enough, it was there.
You didn't believe me, did you, when I started tweeting at you?
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic.
Back in 2013, I tried to get a different set of call letters, and I wanted to call it the Sports Zone. So everything I, you know, came, you know, KSTZ, whatever, you know, all those call letters were all taken. You know, just like as a joke, I looked on the FCC database, and I go, I wonder what if Crap's available. And there are a bunch of these four-letter call letters that were assigned to Coast Guard vessels and regular vessels. So I looked it up on the FCC database. Sure enough, it said that the call letters were assigned to the Coast Guard. I contacted the people at the Coast Guard, and they informed me that the call letters, and this is sort of funny, the call letters Crap were assigned to an oil rig.
Oh, crap.
So they released the call letters to the FCC, and about a week later, we had Crap.
True story.
These young guys, I go, look, I said, you're not going to walk into WFAN or Camo X or whatever the big sports station is and get a job. You got to, you know, you got to sort of, you know, hone your craft.
What you're telling me is when I talk to young broadcasters or guys that want to get into the business, I'm going to send them to you, and they're going to start working at Crap.
You know, I have to tell you that we have even toyed with the idea of opening the Crap School of Broadcasting. And we'd actually, you know, and you'd actually get a diploma. You know, this certifies that this person has, you know, risen to the high standards of Crap.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I love that guy. Radio should not take itself too seriously. That's why I love doing it. And a radio station that calls itself Crap Sports is right up my alley. Right there. Right up my alley. So we crawl closer towards football season. Next week, I am out of town. My girlfriend and I have a wedding to go to, one of her friends in the Bay Area of California. So we are heading to Cali tonight, going to fly to San Diego, and then use the week to kind of meander up north, go to see some cool things, see some place I've never seen before, eat some cool things. My guess is I'm going to get a few Nomad episodes out of this road trip. I don't even know the person we're going to the wedding of. But that means that you have Gary Parrish the first 3 days of the week next week, and then Chris Moore the final 2 days of the week next week. Then I'm back the following week, and I'm here through football season, so fear not. And when we are coming back for the start of football season, Labor Day weekend, after that begins Sunday morning football the following weekend, on Sunday mornings beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, 9 to 11 Eastern time, every Sunday here on CBS Sports Radio, I'll be breaking down what happened Saturday's college football action, and then getting to preview what's going to happen in the NFL Sunday football action. So make sure you tune in, and you can watch that every week at watchda.com as well. First year, we're going to be doing the live video stream of it. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel this morning. Ryan Hickey as your associate producer, doing tremendous work today. Christopher Arndt Thomas as your digital broadcast producer on watchda.com, and Brad Heller as your dessert coordinator. I'm DA. Be good and be good to one another. The mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.